Are we doing this? Really?
Wait for it.
Are we doing this?
Wait for it.
Pow! What the fuck?
WTF.
And it's also, what the fuck?
What's wrong with me?
It's time for WTF.
What the fuck?
With Mark Maron.
All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers? What the fuck buddies? What the fucking ears? What the fucks the bulls? What the fuckleberry thins? What the fucking delphians? Ty Siegel is on the show, the guitarist, drummer, musician. This guy does great garage, psychedelic, hard rock, man. I mean, this kid has got like, he's not that old. He's like in his 20s. Got like 7 albums out, dozens of other things out. He's always putting out records. And it was one of those situations where some guy turned me on to him. I listened to the band Fuzz because it was recommended to me by Liz and Lance down at Permanent Records. And I took it home and I'm like, "What? Where the fuck did this come from? Is this a world I need to know about, this whole garage psychedelic world that I was out of because I'm an old guy?" And they told me about Ty. And I'm like, Ty Siegel? Okay, man, what else do I need? Get his album Slaughterhouse. I'm like, holy shit, look at the cover. Both these covers are fucking cool. So then I bring Slaughterhouse home and I'm like, God damn, what is this? This is awesome. And then I go back and they're like, yeah, he's got like 5 other records out. I'm like, how old is this kid? 5 records? Well, it was insane to me. He's like making records every other day and they're all solid. They're all raunchy and garagey and psychedelic and cool. Crunchy. Born in 1987. Wow. So I get Slaughterhouse and I go back to Lance and Liz over at Permanent and I'm like, where is this coming from? Is there any more? And they're like, well, you're in luck because he's got like 5 other records. Who is this Ty Siegel? And they're like, he works here at the store sometimes on Tuesdays. He's from the Bay Area, but he's down here now. And sometimes he just hangs out. I'm like, he needs to work here? And they're like, no, he just likes hanging out. And I'm like, Ty Siegel, the guy who made that music I just heard really loud in my house, comes to this store, he's going to be at this store. And here I am, like, I'm completely fanboying out on this kid who's like, what did I say, 26, 27 years old? You mean I could just come to the store and meet Ty Siegel here? I could meet the guy that made the sounds on that thing, the guy who rocks really hard, I can meet him? And I'm like, I'm getting all jittery. I'm like, I'm going to meet Ty Siegel? In my heart, in my child's mind, in my youth, I was like, I'd love to be a rock guy. You know, I'd love to do that. And you guys know this about me. I mean, I used to model myself after rock guys in a way. I think I started smoking cigarettes because of Keith Richards. I read in a magazine interview with Keith Richards, they asked him what kind of cigarettes he smoked. And I was like 14. And he said, smoke Marlboros or Newports. And I'm like, well, I'm getting a pack of each. Let's see what fits. Menthol thing wasn't for me, but I stuck with Marlboros for a long time. Not proud of that. Thank you, Keith. Could have been heroin. It wasn't. And then there was a period there where I got Tom Waits' Nighthawks at the Diner. And I thought that album was so cool because he seemed so laid back. He was funny. Sounded like he'd been through some shit. That I dressed like he looked on the cover of that record. I got myself a cap. I got myself a ratty jacket. Only button-down shirts. Some jeans and some shoes. And I walked around. And I was like 15. I'm like, yeah, man. How's it going? Let me play a song for you. Down the river, I got no one to take care of me. That was Waiter Waits, but you get the idea. Yeah, and then there was a period in college where, you know, I needed to rockabilly out, so I did that for a little while. Now I was into Bowie, but that seemed a little draining to go through all of his outfits. Nonetheless, what I am telling you is that I am always enchanted by music. I like music. I think I said last week or whatever that I need a sound, a song, a melody that'll just slowly jerk off my brain until I finish. I want to feel the build. I want to feel the power, man. And I like all kinds of music, but there's something about Ty Siegel's music. He does this psychedelic thing, and when he hits it, man, he fucking hits it. And on this new record, Manipulator, it's like, it's just interesting as a guy, you know, who's at my age where, you know, I locked into Slaughterhouse. I locked into Fuzz, which he only played drums on. I didn't know. I thought it was all him. And through him, I got to Michael Cronin, who's his pal, MC2. That record, he's a buddy of Ty's from the Bay Area. And that record's fucking great. Anyways, back to the Manipulator, his newest record, which will be out next week, I think. because I got into him and I got into his early stuff, and I went back and got into all the other early stuff and I listened to it, I could hear his evolution. I could hear what he was trying to do. And now he puts out this double record Manipulator, and it's just fucking everything he was working towards. And he just cleaned up the production on it, and everything sits on its own beautifully. There's no, not a lot of buzz or mud or fucking, you know, echoing in the sense of like, that we're playing in a hangar. We're just recording this with a cassette player. This shit is tight on the production. And I've already listened. I got one song in there that I played 3 or 4 times, and he's going to play it on the podcast. He's going to play in a few minutes. This kid, Siegel. Got me all worked up. Got me all fanboying out. Yeah. Music is very important to me. What can I tell you? And I'm excited to have Ty Siegel on the show today. Okay. All right. Man, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it one day. It'd be weird if I accomplish everything I want to accomplish and I'm like, all right, time to start the band. But that wouldn't be unusual. That's not looked upon with happiness. No one sees a guy that, you know, made his life doing something else, turned to music in his 50s and says, no one says, like, finally, all right, this is what we've all been waiting for. It doesn't fucking matter, man. I'm going to do it for me. Is it okay if I do something for myself? Is that okay with you people? Huh? Know that I was excited talking to Ty Siegel. You'll know. Boy. That's all right, man. I'm just going to start a band. Some company was going to send me a Wurlitzer that they never sent me. They made promises on Twitter, and I was waiting for a Wurlitzer. And I actually ran into Ty the other day when he gave me Manipulator. And I'm like, I was supposed to get this organ in the mail and never came. He's like, cool. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool because I'm going to put it in your studio because I got nowhere for it. And I'm going to come over there, and we're going to figure out how to play the fucking thing. He was like, great. Now I wish I would send it. Anyways, this is my talk with Ty Siegel. So where did you come from, man? I mean, like, I've been talking about you for a while, and then, like, how old are you?
26.
You're 26, and you've got more albums than the Beatles out somehow or another. I'm not sure how that worked, but where'd you grow up?
I'm from Orange County, so just down the street.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, beach town.
Yeah, but, like, fancy Orange County?
Kind of, yeah.
You grew up beach. Fancy?
Yeah, well, you know. We were not wanting at all. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
What was the family business?
My dad was a lawyer.
Oh yeah.
My mom was an artist.
What kind of artist?
She did all kinds of stuff. She did multimedia stuff and sculpting and painting.
Really?
And then she eventually designed handbags.
Really?
Like weirdo handbags.
So your mom, like, my mom did that later, and she went to school for art and kind of taught art, and then she tried painting and stuff, and then eventually. She got into she tried to start a splattered sweat outfit business.
Whoa.
Where she just splatter paint on blank sweat.
That's rad.
Sweatsuits.
That's amazing.
I don't know if it ever took off. But your mom's handbags, they took off?
They did for a while, and then she kind of just, she fell back into doing other art.
Yeah?
You know.
But like, were you always impressed with it? It's good to have one creative parent in the house.
I mean, she's an insane illustrator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's really great at pen and ink, and paint and acrylic.
Really?
Yeah.
And painting?
Yeah.
She's a good painter?
She's a very good painter.
Did she do it professionally?
You know, she went to school for a bit and did some design work, but never really too professional, no.
But there's always stuff going on. There's always paints around things.
Yeah, not anymore. She doesn't do it anymore, no.
Oh, yeah. That's sad. What, she just,
I don't know.
Just bailed on it?
Yeah.
My mom just started doing it again at 73 or however old
that's
she is.
Awesome.
She's like, I'm going to start painting again.
That's so cool.
I know. It's nice, you know? I mean, what are you going to do when you get to a certain age? Why? Once you let go of the dream, why not just do it for a hobby?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of law was your dad in? Was he a good guy lawyer?
He was.
Oh,
he was
yeah?
a small business attorney.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Protecting the little guy?
Yeah.
Ah,
amongst it's cool. It's cool to think about where he started from because he's South African.
Really?
Yeah. So he went from doing law in Africa and Swaziland.
Really?
Yeah. And then he moved to Amsterdam. And he did, like, film work there.
Huh.
And then he moved to New York and got his law degree in New York and worked for MGM as like talent relations. So he has all these weird stories with like crazy 70s actors and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
So he wasn't working as a lawyer? He was just working?
No. He passed away, but...
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's good. But yeah, no, it was crazy. It's cool.
And then he... So your family's... For your father's side of the family is what? Dutch, South African?
Yeah.
And
Dutch, German.
Uh-huh. Do you have family down there? Have you gone down there?
They're all gone. They've all moved. Gone. I have family in Australia.
Really?
Family... They were in England, and now they're in Spain, and then we're here. That's my dad's side.
Uh-huh. And you visit? Do you go to... Have you toured Australia and looked up the cousins or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. We hung out for... It was really cool. They're from Perth.
Yeah.
And I was in Sydney. I didn't go to that side of the continent.
Uh-huh.
And they flew over to
hang out?
Yeah. It was really, really cool.
Well, that's nice. There's not a lot to do in Australia. You know what I mean? It's like you got a cousin in from the States. You better go see him because they may never come back.
Yeah, who knows?
Did you like Australia? What band did you go to Australia with?
I went with my band.
We got to
like
break
the
this
loud
shit
band.
Down. Yeah. You actually have, there's a distinction between them all.
Yeah. Well, there was the sleeper band, which is like the acoustic band.
Is that new or old?
Like that was pretty new. Yeah.
I know, because I just got sleeper. So you,
cool.
But you consider that's new.
That's the one, that's the most recent one. Yeah.
Right. But it's real acoustic-y.
Yeah.
And then before that, Twins. I got Twins.
Cool.
And that one, I'm trying to remember. That's a mix. Not really heavy though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's more like, it's kind of pop, it's poppier.
Right, and you're aware of this? Like, you're like, this is going to be a pop record?
Yeah, well, my whole idea with that one was pop, like really screwed up pop, like really fucked up pop.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Fuzz, Slaughterhouse?
Yeah, the Slaughterhouse is the live band. That's like the electric band.
So that's all live, Slaughterhouse?
Yeah, well, that's just everybody in the band playing.
But not in front of an audience.
No.
Right.
Just live in the studio.
Fuzz Live, I have. I've almost got all your records.
Man, that's crazy.
The one with you and Michael Cronin I have.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are buddies?
Yeah.
All right, let's back up. So you're in Orange County, you're a kid, your mom's an artist, your dad's a cool Dutch-German lawyer from South Africa who's got a history in show business, but now is defending the little guy in small business law. Orange County, Republican stronghold, not necessarily a rock and roll town.
The Orange Curtain,
yeah.
I used to call it.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't really imagine from what I feel, you know, from your music, perhaps that was all building out of contempt for your environment.
I think so. Yeah.
You have siblings?
I do. I have a little sister.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What does she do?
She's in high school. She's...
High school?
Yeah. She's turning 18 in 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's wild.
How's she turning out?
Great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she's... She...
Did she go the artist's way?
She was more the scholastic route until fairly recently... Yeah, she got into music like about a year ago, which is so rad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She was a studier. She did her homework. She got the A's, and now she's like, I want to rock.
Yeah. Oh. She's getting free.
Oh, yeah?
That's cool.
What is she doing? Is she singing?
She's not playing music. She's just all about going to shows and,
oh, that's
and
right.
getting into music.
Does she go to your shows?
She's been to a couple.
What'd she think?
She's stoked. Yeah, it's kind of like, what you know, I think we're really loud.
Yeah, I think you are.
I lost a lot of hearing, so I'm not too sure how loud we are.
Have you lost some hearing?
Yeah, I got tinnitus.
Well, why don't you wear...
I just went to the doctor and got those special earplugs made.
Oh, really? You've never worn them before that?
Well, not really.
Mm.
I used to, it's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's stupid, but there's like a thing about... You can just feel the music better.
Yeah, it's part of the liabilities of being a fucking, you know, balls to the wall loud guitar player. It's like you got to take the hit if you want the buzz.
You got to take the hit.
Just try to maintain enough to be able to play a little bit eventually. I mean, I think you're a little young for the hearing loss.
Yeah, that's why I kind of got freaked out.
Yeah,
and my right ear is pretty bad. I got a constant ringing.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck,
like,
man.
Right now, like if we're quiet, it's like.
Really?
Yeah.
You fucked it that much?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But I can stop it now.
Yeah?
Yeah, so.
All right, so when did you start? What was high school like? Were you a stoner or no?
No, actually, I've never been able to smoke weed.
You don't seem like a stoner guy.
I can't smoke weed.
What's your thing?
I freak out. I get super weird.
Yeah.
I'm like that paranoid guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the guy that leaves and like...
Why are they all looking at me?
Calls everybody the next day. Like every... Like if there's 20 people in the room, I'll call every person and be like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what I did.
And they don't even know.
And they're like, you were just sitting there. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
You were the guy looking panicked on the couch. Locked up.
Now I was more of a, you know, beer guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No tripping?
No, yeah. I've that was more in college. Lots of mushrooms.
Where'd you go to college at?
In San Francisco. That's why I stuck
you
around.
Up there?
Yeah.
So you're in Orange County. You go to high school. Do you have bands in high school?
Yeah. Yeah. Had one called Epsilons, and that's... Through that band was kind of how I met Charlie, who's the guitar player in Fuzz.
Oh, that goes all the way back, huh?
Yeah, and Michael.
Cronin went to high school with you?
Yeah.
I don't know that guy. Like, you guys are all these, like, these new punks that are coming up. And, like, I don't know how you guys generate so much music, but I think it's good. But I have no point of reference for, like, if I didn't meet you up at Permanent Records, I would not, you know, you would just be this mythic guy with this sound that I'm familiar with. I can't get over how many records you have out.
I'm just bored, man.
Is that it?
I'm so excited. I bought a house.
You bought a house?
Yeah.
You're selling some records.
It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the big cash cow? Which record?
Oh, man, you know, I've just been saving money since I was, like, you know, 19.
Oh, really?
20, yeah. That was, like, one thing my dad was really big on was, like, just put it away.
And do you make a lot of money? Like, because I got to assume, just by virtue of the fact that, you know, I don't shut up about you, that there's other people that don't shut up about you, and that, you know, you must be pulling pretty good when you play live. The records must be selling all right.
I mean, I'm a lucky guy. Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know...
Yeah, you're
a giant band or anything.
You're
but,
not Elton John or anything.
Yeah, but we're,
YouTube,
you know,
but.
We're a very lucky working band, you know?
Yeah.
We get to work and not kill ourselves, but, you know, make a living. It's cool.
So, all right, you play a little in high school. You do all right in high school. You go to college where?
USF, University of San Francisco.
Okay. What was the first guitar and what were you trying to, what was blowing your mind? I mean, what planted the seed of this balls to the wall psychedelic rock hard kind of mentality that you have?
Well, I was a drummer first, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was cool. I would just play drums to Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin
important.
And stuff.
Important.
Yes, very important. I got a Volume 4 tattoo.
Holy shit, that's right. I think he's showing that the other... See, that's my favorite record. And I don't know...
It's the best one.
I fucking agree, man.
It's the best.
But Sabbath heads, they'll just get pissed off at you.
It's a very heated subject matter.
And we're just talking about from the first five albums or so, not all the way out.
Right? Yeah.
Because I don't listen all the way through. And
Heaven and Hell, Dio, all that stuff.
Well, I just don't... I missed Sabbath when I was the proper age to get Sabbath. So now because I'm getting into the vinyl thing, now I'm catching up on shit. I wasn't a metal kid. So like I like Zeppelin, but Sabbath, I don't know why. It just never did it for me.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, they're great.
Yeah.
But Sabbath 4, for some reason, is the one.
That's the one.
Somebody told me it's a great album because there's a song on there for everything. There's a song to rock out for, and there's a song that you could play at a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
There's
Changes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can cry to that song. Yeah.
It's a very versatile album in terms of the events that you can use it at.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And why do you think it's the best album? Just because of versatility?
It's kind of the weirdest one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's for that reason, too, the versatility of it. No, yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah.
It's also a super... even like the most Iommi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I think he was mixing it or he was there and he just kept turning himself up. Like by the end of the record, he's like so loud.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. You know?
I got to listen to that.
The creeper fade the whole time.
Oh, really? Is that what it's called? You just kind of swip it in?
The creeper.
Well,
yeah.
Someone told me or maybe someone tweeted at me that that they don't even remember recording that record.
Yeah, man. I don't blame them. Snowblind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They must have been fucking out there.
Oh, yeah.
But like I never realized when you listen to those records, and also in the way that it seems that you produce records sometimes, is that for the reputation they have as sort of this defining force in metal, it's very clean. I mean, the production is very clean. There's
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not. You can hear everything. There's nothing, you know, over. You know, I guess it was just the time too. But
yeah.
they're such solid, you know, nicely produced records.
Oh yeah. It's the best. It's the best.
So Sabbath 4, Zeppelin what?
Zeppelin 1 through physical graffiti. Zeppelin, like all of them.
Right, but Zeppelin 3 is great, right?
Zeppelin 3 is my favorite.
Mine too, yeah. But no one agrees with us.
No, it's the best.
What is, see, now I understand why I like your music. There's some sort of, you know, synchronicity going on. But no one, people argue that shit with you, man, you night know, and day.
You know what, this is like totally blasphemous and weird to say, but it's the least Zeppelin of the Zeppelin records.
Uh-huh.
It's like more all over the place.
Yeah.
Again, it's that it's varying, you know?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It's the most enjoyable.
And some people be like, physical graffiti's the best one, and some people be like, Zeppelin 2 is the best one for rocking hard. But I thought, right, it's the most versatile.
Yeah,
it's
I love three. Best. Three and four.
We've got it. We've admitted it. We've admitted it to the public. That's what we've. That's what we're into with those bands. So who were the other guys, though? What got y'all psychedelic?
Well, actually, it's funny. I mean, it's like classic rock, like Cream and all that stuff. Like,
how come I never? I can't fucking
Cream.
I just can't do the Cream. I mean, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me, man.
I.
You like the big guitar sound?
I love Cream. Yeah, I mean, Ginger Baker is such a freak.
Yeah.
He's a total weirdo.
I think my problem with it is like there's a couple of melodies that I like, and you know, I can hear the drive of it and I dig it, but like I don't know, man. I don't love the lyrics. Yeah, and they're sort of boring to me. And his guitar is okay, but I'm not huge on Clapton in general. But those are some pretty big riffs in Cream.
Yeah, I'm not a big. I honestly don't like Clapton.
Yeah,
I don't, but I like Cream.
Yeah. You can't beat that.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. I mean,
it's
you know?
Big. It's big.
Yeah.
It's an important one. It's one of those ones that and Smoke on the Water, no matter what generation of kid is picking up a guitar to play the first time, they're going to play those.
Smoke on the Water, first song I learned.
Well, that's it.
And
when was the last time you fucking listened to that song, though?
I actually listened to that song like a week ago.
Really?
Yeah, Machine Head.
Yeah.
That record rules.
Sure. It does rule.
I like those early Deep Purple records. I don't know if I can get into Rainbow and like, I just haven't had time. You know, like Dio, Rainbow?
Yeah, I don't know. I went to see, my friend Dave was in high school. He was so into Rainbow. We drove up to Denver to see him from Albuquerque. I didn't really like Rainbow that much. And we drove 10 hours. We didn't have tickets and we were going to scalp tickets. That's how fucking stupid we were. It was just go. And he walked up to some dude online and said, I'll give you $50 for your tickets. And the dude, back then that was a lot. It was like 77 or something, 76. The guy was like, okay. So we saw Rainbow, and I don't remember at all.
You don't remember?
No, but I do remember John Cougar opened for them.
Whoa.
Before John Cougar Mellencamp, like the first record.
It was like the punk John Cougar?
Kind of, or like the Stonesy John Cougar.
The heavier Cougar?
Well, it was I Need a Lover, and...
I don't know that stuff at all.
Yeah, it was a little Stonesier. It was before he had an affectation. He was a pretty good showman.
Cool.
You know? It was all right, but I don't remember Rainbow that well. Maybe I got fucking wasted. All right, so what about Hendrix and those guys?
Well, like that was it. That was like the big three, which is pretty standard, like Jimmy, Zeppelin, and Sabbath. And then the older I got, the more into punk I got.
Right.
And like noise and like weird, like, have you heard James Chance?
James Chance.
And the Contortions.
Yeah. I got that first record.
Yeah, like DNA and like all of the weirder. I actually got into like weirder... no wave stuff before.
What is that? What's no wave
music?
Stuff?
No wave is like it's the Contortions, like kind of dissonant dance.
Like what? Oh,
disco.
Dance though. But like no. Did you ever get into like Fred Frith and John Hassell and Brian Eno?
Oh yeah.
And the Fred Frith and
Frith
the noise.
Frith and Eno.
Yeah.
That live record.
Robert Fripp. Yeah.
Fripp.
There's two guys. There's Fred Frith is sort of a noise guy. But kind of like, you know, noise, like, you know, like traffic noises and clanking garbage cans and stuff. And then Robert Fripp was a guitar player for King Crimson. He's like, that's like math on the guitar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the core of the Crimson King, man.
Yeah, you like that
so
one?
So good.
I got it. Like, it's like I'm trying, man.
It's a grower.
I guess.
Because when I was like 15, I was like...
can't do it.
21st Century Schizoid Man is the best song ever made.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the record, I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But then I threw it on when I was like 21 and I was like...
You got it?
I got it.
Really?
Yeah.
It delivered?
It's just because you can't listen to it expecting to hear a 21st Century Schizoid Man again.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, Lance has got me on the krautrock now.
Oh, yeah.
I love that shit.
So good.
It's so good. And I've been listening to Spaceman 3 a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And those Hawkwind records you made me get. Those are good.
Yeah. Crazy, Crazy stuff, right?
It is. It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like I didn't really notice that certain records, like I got a reissue of the first Thin Lizzy record. I don't know what the fuck is going on that record.
It's
like,
yeah.
there's some records where I don't understand what's happening, but it's nice.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, when you put on those old Hawkwind records, you're not rocking out. You're just sort of sitting, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, it's like Motorhead on tons of psychedelics.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
And there's, you know, just there's a dude in the band who sits there and turns the noise knob the entire time.
Is there just there is?
Yeah, there was like a guy. He just affected the music. You
what
know,
was it plugged into? It was on the mixer.
I think it was in a giant PA. That band is amazing, and they had like a Stacia, a naked dancer,
yeah.
at all their shows that was just painted. It's you know
yeah.
it's crazy yeah it's
and
cool.
but early on, like, I don't know the whole history of them, but there was this is a very specific thing. What is their hippie connection? Why do they?
Well, they were I don't know the exact name of the scene. I want to say the Canterbury scene in uh-huh. like England. That's where like the Soft Machine and stuff. Do you know that band, uh-huh, the Soft Machine? And like Kevin Ayers and those bands came from. I'm not too sure, but I know that they started in like the hippie scene and then they just kept going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And their whole thing was kind of like a commune kind of band.
Okay. And so it was that kind of thing.
Like it was yeah. just a big, yeah, a yeah. it was a huge band with a right. huge stage show.
Yeah. And a bunch of the same people following them around.
Yeah.
Right. They were like the Dead almost.
Yeah, really insane, like way crazier version of the Dead.
But like the same kind of appeal to a very core group of people that got it.
Yeah.
They weren't for everybody.
I think they were like way nastier.
Oh yeah, obviously. Like, but just like with the loyalty and the weirdness of the lifestyle, I just imagine.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. And right, so who are these No Wave bands? Because who else did you make me buy?
The Fall. That's a big one.
Yeah, I got it. I don't have any.
Oh man. I would say... start off with Dragnet.
Yeah.
And then go for Grotesque,
mm-hmm.
or yeah. Live at the Witch Trials.
Okay.
Those seem to be all gateway Fall records.
Okay. Like, it's weird. I'm recording this, yet I'm writing this down as you tell me. I don't want to lose this information. So that was a big one.
Oh, yeah.
So when did you make the jump to guitar? How did that work?
Oh, well, when I got into punk.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I mean, it's such a typical thing to say, but it's, you know, it's like you hear Nervous Breakdown or like Black Flag and you're like, oh, I think I could, I could maybe do that, maybe, or yeah. just like that, I could play like a power chord.
Yeah, right, but you liked playing drums.
Yeah.
And you'd played some guitar, but you were a classic rock head.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I got obsessed with doing more punk.
Yeah.
Punk
just
guitar.
It's a rhythm thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the first guitar?
I was cheating it.
Yeah.
First,
what do you mean, open tuning?
No, just like the two finger chord thing.
So not playing all the strings.
No, yeah. Two strings.
Distorted.
Oh, yeah. Really loud and distorted. You know? Lots of cheating. I feel my musical life has been cheating.
No, like, you're just using the equipment like you want to use it.
Just turn it up.
Sure, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about rock is that, and I started to realize it, it's like, you don't need to be a virtuoso of anything. You just need to be able to do what you want to do.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? I think virtuosos, on some level, you can appreciate them, but sometimes they're overrated. And the guys that are just sort of like, you know, raw are the ones that are really delivering the goods on an emotional level.
That's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
There's this guy, Billy Childish.
Uh-huh.
He was in a ton of bands, like the Headcoats. He's an English dude.
Yeah, I think
he's great.
Yeah.
And that's him. That was like my first introduction to like the kind of garage rock punk psych.
I know that guy's name. What were his bands?
The Headcoats, the Buff Medways, the Milkshakes, Mighty Caesars.
Uh-huh.
He's amazing.
So that guy blew your mind?
Well, he was the first, he was like one of the first guys truly that kind of got across this emotional thing.
Oh, there he is.
Different than like punk.
Yeah.
It was just like a rock and roll, I guess what I'm saying is like a modern rock and roll emotive guy. And he's a total poet and it was, yeah. So that was kind of...
Where'd you get... Who turned you onto that shit?
Oh, man.
Who was your guide, man, when you were a teenager? There must have been some older dude that was like, oh, man.
There were some punk kids at my school.
Yeah.
who actually were not the nicest guys.
Right.
But I found out about some cool music, mostly like Orange County punk, and you know, there's like surf punk and stuff like that, because I'm a surfer, and it was like a skateboard surfing kind of thing down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
you surf?
Yeah.
Like how often? You picked the wrong neighborhood.
I know.
you got to take a pretty good drive.
Yeah, I don't mind driving though.
What do you drive?
I don't have a car right now. My van exploded.
How'd you get up here?
My girlfriend's car.
Oh,
Camry.
But you live down the street.
Corolla?
I got a Camry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you live down the street. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So you surf. You got your own board and everything.
Yeah.
And you got a wetsuit.
I do.
And you go out there and just lay out there until something happens.
Yeah. It's the therapy, man.
Where do you go around here? What's the best place?
Go all around. You know, I'll go down to Orange County sometimes. I'll go to Malibu sometimes.
But when's the day start for a surfer? How does that work? When you're like, well, all right, I got to get up tomorrow morning.
Over here, it's different. Like if you lived on the beach, you know, it's, you know, you could like go surfing on your lunch break or whatever. If you have, you know, if you're working.
So you just throw the board in the water for an hour?
Yeah. But here it's different because of traffic. So you either have to do like, get up at 5.
Yeah.
You're in the water by 6, and then you surf till 9:30 or 10 when the traffic dies,
and
then you can get home. Or you do the noon to 3.
Yeah. So what's a good day surfing? I mean, what determines, like, can you go for like 3 hours and not like get a good wave?
Yeah, but it's more just about going.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's kind of like if you were a runner jogger or even just, you know, a musician or whatever. It's like, it's just the practice or the time spent giving yourself that time away from all other thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't get out on you're not out on the surfboard thinking like, oh, God, that's a good riff.
No. No, you have to cut your mind off. You have to like let it all...
Go away.
Yeah, go away. Blank slate. It's weird. That's kind of the only place I can do that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so you're dicking around down there with the Orange County punk scene, skating, surfing, hanging out with, you know, not very nice guys who are turning on to good music. And then, so you had the band, the Epsilons, where you played drums.
I played guitar in that band.
Okay, so you and Michael Cronin are on guitar?
Michael joined at the very end of that band. He was in a band with me before that played house parties and stuff where I was on drums and he was on saxophone.
He plays sax.
Yeah.
Cronin plays
He's
sax.
An insane saxophone player.
And a piano player and a guitar player.
Yeah.
Can he play drums?
Yeah.
He can play drums too.
He's the secret weapon.
He is.
He's the bad
Cronin.
Man.
Yeah. Cronin's a guy.
Cronin's the secret weapon, man.
Yeah. He's the guy you go to when you need to fix it.
Yeah. You're like, I screwed it up, man. Can you do something? He'll go, accordion. And you're like,
accordion.
Oh, I never thought of that. Perfect.
So he's a multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah.
Because I listen to Cronin too. Like, you know, because you guys are so different in terms of how you approach things. He's obviously like he wants to make pop songs.
Yeah.
And he does really pretty pop songs.
Oh, he's,
but then like a couple of songs, it's just like, what? And then a couple of the record you guys did was not a pop record.
No, it's total weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been in it like already by the end of high school, you've been in what, 3 or 4 bands?
Two bands.
The house band and the Epsilons.
Yeah.
What was the house band called?
Love This. It's funny.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah. Ridiculous. We had a shirt with an arrow pointing down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's funny stuff.
Uh-huh, but that wasn't punk rock.
16.
Yeah.
No, that was like kind of more, that was like dance music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what about this no wave business? So you...
That was kind of what that was.
Which is, give me some examples of the bands.
Like the Contortions, or like, I mean, Sonic Youth started in that, that vein.
Yeah.
You know, DNA, ESG could be considered that.
Yeah.
There's a rad comp called... No New York.
Yeah.
Which is like just a compilation of,
that stuff.
Yeah. It's really, really great.
So when did the, so you get into college and you go to San Francisco. When did the idea, because I think that a lot of this, the theme that seems to go on through your, at least the Electric Records, is definitely a commitment to raw garage sound.
Yeah.
And more than like, I mean, obviously the riffs are there and everything else, but you like to fucking, You like the noise in there. You know, it's it sounds like you leave amps that buzz on way loud. There's a lot of buzz.
Yeah. Buzzing. Buzz, fuzz.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
So where did that, when you were in San Francisco, what blew your mind there? How did you come into, what did you study?
I studied media studies.
So you just were just there.
Yeah. No. Well, especially at that time, because I graduated high school in 2005.
Yeah.
So my poor professors were like, so today you're going to just look at Facebook and we're going to talk about it because we don't know what this is, you know, and we'd be like, okay.
That was class?
Yeah, it was some of the classes,
yeah,
you know, and then there were other professors that were very sternly rooted in the old communications, you know.
Did you have any real interest in it or were you just kind of buying time?
To be honest, I was under the assumption that I could eventually get a recording engineering degree
right.
through that route. But then I got very impatient and I just stuck to that.
And you went all the way through?
4 years.
You did?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
And you were what, running around playing in bands at the same time?
Yeah. It's pretty brutal.
Like, what were the bands in San Francisco?
This band, Traditional Fools.
Yeah.
We were like a surf band, like a surf punk band.
And you were playing guitar.
And drums. We'd actually rotate around, which was fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Surf punk. Who's a seminal surf punk band?
There's a band called the Surf Punks.
Yeah? And it's just like, what is it? Hot Rotted, what is that guy's name?
Dick Dale?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some like Rat Fink, Dick Dale stuff. Uh-huh. But they're like that Billy Childish guy I was talking about. And there's a whole rad like 90s era. There's this band, Teen Generate. There's this label, Crypt Records.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'd really like this stuff. There's a comp called Back from the Grave.
Yeah.
And it's all obscure 60s weirdo,
uh-huh.
like garage, psych, fuzzed out rock and roll.
Yeah.
Just raw, like the rawest.
Yeah. Were shit. You Stooges guy?
Oh, yeah.
That's like, that seems
raw
to be
power.
The shit. Right? Crazy.
Yeah. Funhouse.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Do you have those? Do you have the Funhouse sessions?
That's rad, but very
hours
extensive.
Hours.
Yeah.
Rollins gave me that shit. He dumped that onto a hard drive.
Oh
for
man,
me.
It's crazy. Yeah, take 15 or whatever. Of
yeah. You know,
Funhouse.
Rollins has got a remix that he did of Raw Power that he will not give anybody.
How did he get those tapes?
Iggy gave them to him.
That's insane.
Yeah, like he just dumped them on him, and Rollins said that there's a clap track on it, and there's like people not clapping, like they're on some rhythm, and there's like background vocals that you can't hear in the mix that's out.
Whoa.
And I wanted him to give it to me. We're not buddies, but that we did some shows together. I'm like, just give it to me. He's like,
oh,
I can't
man.
Give it to him.
That's insane.
He was in here. Iggy was in here.
Oh, whoa.
He sat right there, dude. Yeah, he sat right where you are.
Wow, that's
with
insane.
No shirt on.
No way, really?
Yeah, he took his shirt off.
Took his shirt off?
On the deck to do the interview.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
He's fucking insane, man. And so he remembers everything, man. There's such a difference between Iggy and Jim.
That guy's a lifer, man. He's, I mean, obviously, right? But, I mean, dude, he's destroyed his body for rock and roll.
I guess. It looks
it's
pretty
insane.
Good, though.
Yeah, but he's got a crazy limp and like his hips all screwed up and like my buddy Brett, who works at Drag City, has an amazing story. The only time he got to see Iggy Pop,
uh-huh.
and it was like a solo Iggy Pop show, and I'm pretty sure it was like either in the late 90s or early 2000s, and Brett's like freaking out. He's like, oh my God, I'm going to see Iggy Pop play.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Yeah.
And they start with Lust for Life.
Yeah.
He's like, holy shit, this is insane.
Great.
And Iggy just runs right out.
Yeah.
Takes a swan dive, and there's a big cement barrier.
Yeah.
Lands on the cement barrier, breaks his leg.
Ugh.
And then they immediately lift him up, carry him off the stage, and that's the end of the show. Just breaks his leg, first song. Brett was like, it was perfect, man. It was amazing.
What did people, they must have been like,
they were just,
fuck.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit.
And that was on the first song.
He just ran into the swan dive and ate it. It's insane.
I saw your buddy from the OCs.
Dwyer?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. John.
Does he live here now?
Yeah, he moved here.
Like, what was, because like, it's interesting to me because I didn't really know that band until, you know, you told me about them. And they're obviously, you know, one of those bands that that there are certain bands that are kind of regional and they become a training ground and inspire a whole generation of people, but don't get there.
That's them. Yeah. That's John.
Yeah. I saw him on his bike. He was riding around downtown and he came to a show that I had just performed on. And I was like, I know you, you're Ty's guy.
Rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's John. Like, honestly, like out of, you talk to anyone, like Michael, Charlie, all of, our friends that play music, like he is like the godfather.
Yeah.
You know, like he was in, like when we moved to San Francisco, it was like Dwyer is the mayor of rock and roll here, you know?
Was he just to you guys or in a general sense? Because, I mean, they were probably there when I was there. They've been, probably been around for 20 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, Dwyer's been playing, yeah, like 16 or 17 years or something. But I think what's really cool, what makes me really happy is like, when I was in high school, his band, the Coach Whips, were like a huge inspiration to tons of people I know. They weren't necessarily like a financial success or anything like that at that time.
Right.
But now, and that was the same with the OCs for a long time. And then we just got to watch them grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And now they're like this institution, like this huge, like for tons of people all over the world.
Uh-huh.
Like they're like arguably the most important like psychedelic rock band around. And
but don't you think you like, had something to do with that?
No, man. It's John.
I know it's John, but I mean, it just seems that like I wouldn't have known about them if I hadn't gotten them through you. And but then again, I'm 50, you know, and I've got other things to do.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I love the record I have. I think I have two records and I can totally get how he influenced you.
Yeah.
But like, what was the relationship like? Did you guys, you know, were you and Cronin going to shows or how did that sort of unfold?
Yeah, no, I mean, we would all go, like, we went and saw the Coach Whips in high school.
You did?
Yeah.
In Orange County?
In L.A.
In L.A. You came down for it.
There's a place called The Smell. Have you heard of that place?
No.
It's been around for like 16 years. They've just had crazy shows.
Yeah.
It's an all ages place. So it was like,
what were the ones that like blew your mind and made you go like, oh, I gotta push harder?
Tons of bands. It was like, you just go, we would just go
because it was all ages
whenever we could.
Right. Yeah.
If we had no idea who the band was, we would go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to see live music.
Yeah. We were just,
was
like
it mostly
sponges,
punk?
You know? It was all over the place. It was like noise music, rock and roll, punk, weirdo folk music.
Who's your favorite noise music?
I mean, my range of noise music is just more in the rock and roll sense of like noise.
Uh-huh.
So like just rock and roll bands that are very noisy, like this band The Hospitals.
Yeah.
My friend Chris's band The Mayors, and you know, it's more in that vein.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I like using noise as like another instrument on top of a song.
Uh-huh.
That's what makes me the most happy with noise.
Just sort of through it?
Yeah, like you can have just a track of noise playing the whole time.
Like what do you
over
use?
Over a pop song.
Like what do you use?
You can use anything.
Well, what have you used?
You can use just like literally
running water?
Well, I could put these headphones up to the mic.
Yeah.
And it'll feedback maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, and get a little of that going.
Yeah, or you could mic a faucet and then run it through an amplifier. And then listen to it and then put the headphones on the microphone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You could, I don't know, you could play like six of the same records at the same time at different speeds.
Uh-huh.
And then just have that.
Have you done these things?
No, but we could do them. You know?
I wish I had a better studio. We could make a record.
We could make a record right now.
What have you used for noise?
Oh, just, I mean, mostly feedback, like guitar feedback and stuff.
Wait, you literally will just leave a guitar on an amp? And just let it do its thing?
Yeah, like, have you heard of Jesus and Mary Chain?
Uh-huh.
Like, Psycho Candy?
Yeah.
Like, that's what they did the whole time. It's just a feedback track throughout that entire record, basically.
And you like that?
It's crazy
sounding. It gives this weird menace to the thing.
Yeah, it's sinister. It's weird.
You and Dwyer, though, like, you guys, like, in my mind, like, I feel like he was sort of a mentor.
Yeah, definitely. He put out my first record.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how did that come to be? Which record is that?
That's the one where I'm underwater with like the bubbles and mask.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was in this band, Traditional Fools.
I can't keep up with
this. Yeah, I don't even.
How many bands are you in right now?
Two.
Three? Ty Siegel Band. Fuzz.
And Traditional Fools will like always be around and will never be
Who's
done.
In that?
My buddy Andrew and my buddy Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just kind of every once in a while?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We practiced 2 days ago.
Uh-huh. Were you Pavement?
First time in a year. Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of did. He was sort of a little out there with the sound.
Malcolmus?
Yeah.
Steve.
He was here. Sitting right
I know
there.
Steve.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Man, I feel like we've tormented that guy.
You do? Why?
Well, we have this thing where whenever we see Steve, we have to kind of be like his younger siblings or something and just show up in weird places and do weird stuff. Here's the funniest thing, because he's Steve Malcolmus.
Yeah.
You know, the dude from Pavement is like obviously this legend.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious for me to call him Steve.
Yeah.
You know, Steve.
Yeah.
What's up, Steve?
I feel the
Isn't
same way.
Isn't that ridiculous? It's just hilarious. So that's our thing.
What a weird guitar player.
He's crazy.
His tunings are
totally insane.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where, like, I don't know how it makes sense.
It's crazy. And it's so cool. I mean, we got totally like, this is why it's hilarious to call him Steve.
Yeah.
Because we went on tour for like 5 shows with his band.
The Jicks?
Yeah. And they're all, dude, everybody so nice. Those people are so cool. And, you know, so we were playing like we played a Motorhead cover and like some other cover and then for like 2 shows. And then Steve he comes out with kind of a smirk and he does like 6 old punk covers like in a row, like Flipper, Black Flag, like all these like heavy hitters. And we were like, oh, yeah. Right on. You know,
you got schooled.
We got schooled. But it was rad.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
He's
totally
he seems
cool.
Like that kind of guy. It's like, oh, is that what you got?
Yeah. It was sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dwyer though, all right, so he puts out your first record. But what was that dynamic like? Was he just like sort of like, fuck, you're a wizard, kid?
No, man. It was like, I mean, Dwyer is such a sweet person and he's such a he's just like a mammoth of like a musician.
Yeah.
I think he likes to work in just action.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, basically he saw the Traditional Fools play and it's funny cause I'd never met him and I had a broken arm and I was on the drums and
How'd you break your arm, man?
I was skateboarding on mushrooms.
Okay.
And
was it worth it?
No. It was not worth it. And that night, the cops... night, to go off for a second. The cops came and...
when you were skateboarding on mushrooms?
Well, we were all on... There was like 9 people on mushrooms drinking beer in this park.
Yeah.
Alamo Square Park in San Francisco. And there's a steep hill and I'm wearing dress shoes right now. Yeah. I've always worn dress shoes, and for some reason, I'm like, I'm going to skateboard down this hill.
Yeah.
I didn't think about the shoes.
Yeah.
Skateboard down the hill, fall once. Everybody's like, dude, don't do that again.
Yeah.
That looked bad. Just don't do it again. I was like, no, I can do it.
That looked bad.
I can do it. So I did it, and I fell. I broke my wrist. I didn't think I did at the time, because I was, you know, floaty dude on mushrooms. And then we go back to drinking, and... people are still skateboarding these hills, and then the cops showed up because there was a complaint because they thought someone was getting assaulted because there's so much noise coming from the park, but it was just these kids on mushrooms.
Tripping and skateboarding.
And breaking limbs. And
what'd the cops do, nothing?
They were very upset at first. They thought we were doing something bad.
Yeah, and how'd you get out of it?
Quote unquote, freeze, we got the guns.
Really?
We got the guns.
They said that.
They said, we got the guns. And I was like, you got the guns, man. I don't got no guns.
Yeah, I got my arm hurts.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on over here.
And you're harshing my buzz.
Come on, man. This is weird.
So how'd you squirm out of that?
So we just said, hey, man, we don't have guns. We have skateboards. I'm sorry.
Did they tell you to go home?
Yeah, they were like, get the hell out of here. We were like, yes, officers.
Yeah.
So we walked home, and then I woke up the next day with my hands underneath my pillow because that's how I sleep.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had to tell my mom I just broke my hand skateboarding. I didn't tell her how or the real reason.
Yeah, well, I give her all the info.
Yeah. But then 2 weeks later, you know, I have a cast. I'm playing drums at the show, and Dwyer's there. And then after the show, he walks up and he's like, oh, man, nice move sticking the drumstick in your cast.
Is that what you did?
Yeah.
Like, and
I couldn't grip it that well, so I had to stick it inside of my cast.
And you were doing it?
Yeah, I was trying.
And it worked?
I don't know how well it worked, but...
But it's pretty punk rock.
I tried, you know?
It impressed him.
Yeah, I guess so. And then, you know, he started asking us to play shows in that band, and then I was working on my own stuff, and then one day I had a demo, and I gave it to John, and I asked him to send it to different labels for me, or give me addresses to labels. So we sent it to In the Red, a bunch of these labels that I actually work with now, and they all like didn't want to do it.
That, yeah,
which is pretty rad.
Yeah, and now you're winning.
It's funny. No, it's cool.
How does that work
for story?
As a musician, though, that you are working with so many different labels. I mean, how does that work? What's that relationship like? Because, like, well, you do Drag City. You got a few out on that. Who did Slaughterhouse?
In the Red.
Okay, so you work with In the Red. And what's the other label?
Well, I've done stuff with Goner Records.
Oh, yeah, Goner. And where are they? Nashville?
They're in Memphis.
Memphis, yeah.
And John's label. Which is Castle Face.
Uh-huh.
And just tons of little things on little labels.
So, I guess a major label doesn't matter anymore. Who needs it?
Pretty much. With the internet and how people can, like, take in music now.
But how do you decide which label you're going to go with? And none of them expect loyalty necessarily?
No, I mean, that's kind of the way I set it up, is that I've never signed a contract or done anything. And it's all just with friends. You know, these are all my friends now, like, who run these labels.
So you kind of spread it around.
Yeah.
And you do all your own producing?
Not necessarily. I like mixing it up.
Yeah. Like, who do you work with as a producer and why?
This guy, Chris Woodhouse.
Yeah. What's his trip?
He does all the OC's records.
Uh-huh.
He just has his sound.
Yeah.
His drums. I mean, it's just a specific thing. And then...
You do different variations of garage.
I guess so. Rock and roll.
Which one did Woodhouse produce?
He did Slaughterhouse.
Yeah. And that's a fucking great record.
Thank you. I'm stoked. And the Fuzz record. Fuzz record.
So you went to him with the heavy stuff.
Yeah, he's got this amazing knack for, like, classic, heavy...
Uh-huh.
Music,
mm-hmm.
You know?
That Stoogie sound.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's got that super awesome 70s sound.
And that's his thing.
That's his thing.
So who produced Sleeper?
I did that one at my house.
It was all acoustic.
Yeah, on an 8-track.
And who did the Cronin and Siegel record?
We did that at Mike's house. As a secret, actually, is it's a garage band record.
Yeah?
Yeah, no one's supposed to know that, but I guess now they will.
What, the rest are analog?
Well, there's one other one that's a digital one, but GarageBand, though. I mean, it blew my mind how it sounded.
We're doing GarageBand right now.
Yeah, there you go. You can do great stuff on GarageBand.
But can you do separate tracks with microphones?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah. You just have to have two different inputs. Are you using like a...
Yeah, that's
M-box
the problem.
Or something?
No, the problem is I'm using an analog mixer.
See, that's something I don't really know that much about.
I know nothing about it. Look, I'm using this fucking clunky old Samson MDR6.
I know about the clunky old thing, but I don't know about the...
You can work this thing.
I can work that thing.
But once it goes into the computer, it's over.
I don't know. It's over. It's just some squiggly lines, you know?
Yeah, I know. I look at them all the time. So that one's a GarageBand album. All right, so who are the other producers you work with?
It's this guy, Eric Bauer.
What did he do?
He did the Twins one.
And what? Why him?
He's just great. He did Melted and Goodbye Bread. Like, he's a San Francisco guy. And it's working with him is great for him and I, because we would just get really weird.
Yeah.
We'd have a lot of time to get really strange.
I guess the real benefit, especially someone who's as prolific as you and just compulsive about, you know, doing time in the studio and just fucking making music that you want to lay down, is that you know, when you're not tied to any fucking label and you've got enough support from, you know, enough labels that, you know, that and you're sort of, you know, up high in the world you're in, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
I mean, I don't know about being up high and
no, but I mean,
world,
like,
but
in terms of, like, you know, the fact that, you know, Fuzz is a really, you know, big, Slaughterhouse is a huge record. I mean, you know, my friend Sharpling's real into, you know, Tom Sharpling.
Yeah, you know Tom?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tom rules.
Yeah, he's great. And he's like a fucking record head.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like a big supporter of the Ty Siegel experience.
All right, cool.
Yeah, and
I love Tom.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you like, not unlike podcasting or something, is that you can get records made without having to deal with bullshit.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm a very lucky guy.
How's,
I mean, the number one thing is to maintain control.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that sounds like a weird thing,
mm-hmm.
but, and just creatively,
mm-hmm.
not like control, like, you know, in,
well,
other,
I mean,
aspects,
but
it's just creatively, like making a record, just to be able to not have to, and this sounds weird, but to be able to not have to just give a record to a label and go, oh God, are they going to cut four of those songs and make me redo it?
Yeah.
Like, luckily I'm a very lucky guy to work with labels that just kind of are like, this is your record, you do what you want to do and we'll help you do it.
That's, yeah,
totally crazy.
It's great.
Yeah.
And what's the songwriting process? Do you just impulsively, or do you write in the studio, or are lyrics important?
Yeah. Lyrics, I've been trying to work more on lyrics as I get older.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny to listen back to stuff you do when you're like 18 and you're like, oh God, it's so bad, man.
But you were hung up on the sound though, weren't you?
Yeah. It's more trying to get the sound right. Lyrics, I mean, I had the mentality of like Louie. I was like, you can't hear those lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, who cares what I say? You know? Which is...
That was your motto?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
But the older I get, I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
People are listening. It's weird, you know.
Some people, like, I'm weird. Like, I just like the riffs, you know, and I like the melody. And, like, a lot of times, I don't know what the fuck anyone's saying. I can't tell you that I know the lyrics of most songs all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The older I get, though, like, again, I'm full of cliches.
Yeah.
Today.
The older you get.
The older
26,
I get.
At 26.
At 26.
The older you get.
No, it's like, you know, different points in your life, different songs hit you different ways, you know, different lyricists, different writings, you know, poets, whatever.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, you want to play a song?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's super cool.
Yeah, no, man, I'm happy to. Let me take me out of this.
We were driving through New Mexico. You're from Albuquerque?
Albuquerque? Yeah, yeah.
I, by the way, Christmas style enchiladas.
Yeah?
It's the best.
What? I don't even know what that is.
It's green and red.
Sure, man. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's a Christmas style. I never
Christmas
heard that
style.
Before. I grew up there. Christmas style.
Christmas style.
That's hilarious. Yeah, where'd you get them at?
Santa Fe.
It's good?
Cool.
I think we can do it.
All right, I'll play a new one.
Okay.
Called The Singer. That'd be fun to play a new one. All right.
That's good.
When my love's around,
awesome, man. Thanks for talking to me and playing.
Yeah.
That was my talk with Ty Siegel. Why am I so jacked? I'm always so jacked these days, but I think it's happy jacked. Happy jacked. Ba, 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 ba. That was Andy Kindler's version. For all your WTF Pod needs, go to WTFpod.com. Get the app. I told you about it. Get some justcoffee.coop. All right, if you get the WTF one, they kick in a few shekels on the back end. Check, yeah, leave a comment if you have Facebook. Check my schedule. See who's been on the show. Buy some merch. Enjoy. I swear, man. Someday. Hope you enjoyed the show. Boomer lives. Somewhere far away from here. Hopefully not too far. Like, I picture maybe he lives in a nice house just down the street with a nice Mexican lady who feeds him really good wet food. I think I'm being optimistic. He doesn't live there. Maybe he lives, like, in another plane. Maybe Boomer's looking down on us all with no judgment, just happy we're doing okay. He's in a better place where he can pee wherever he wants. He can pee on people's shoes, in their closets, on their towels, on their counters. Wherever Boomer is now, he can pee anywhere he wants. Way down below the ocean. Way